and I want to give you an update. It's been a couple of weeks since we've talked, since we've gone over some of these. I'm going to be happy to answer several questions tonight. So I've really enjoyed, you know, and want to continue doing these things because I think it's a better way for me to be able to get out and communicate with you and answer as many questions as we possibly can. I want to say thank you to our City TV 3. When you talk about during this pandemic, people that have shined, they have been outstanding on working with not only me, but our emergency service providers. They've been working with our school staff to make sure that we can push information out to our school children. And with that, I do want to take a quick moment to really just say thank you to Dr. Linda Gilbert, who passed away a little more than a week ago. Dr. Gilbert was our director of schools. She was a shining star in our community. You know, I can't tell you how many times or emails that I would get from Linda at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we would have these great conversations when everyone else was sleeping. And I was talking to Lisa Trail and some of the people in her staff and team, and she was talking about how that Dr. Gilbert would frequently do that. But Dr. Gilbert always had the best for our children in our community, for our schools at heart, and for that I want to say thank you. That the memory that you have will leave here is long lasting, and more than that, the amount of kids that you have been able to work with, their legacy will be your legacy. And so thank you to Dr. Gilbert and to her family. All right, let's go into talking about COVID. We had 23 positive tests from yesterday until today. So there's 1,243 people that have tested positive in Rutherford County. Still, you have to put that in relation to the population of Rutherford County in the mid-300,000. So that number is still relatively low. Something I think that's more important, we had 333 negative tests yesterday from our increase in negative tests from yesterday to today. So altogether we've had 11,861 negative tests. We've had 1,243. So we're still hovering around that 9 to 10% of people who are tested that are tested positive. We've had 512 recovered, and we've had 23 deaths. So our prayers are with the families who have lost loved ones during this pandemic. The state numbers, you'll see those over to the side. The state numbers are still continuing to stay steady. Brian Terry has put some great updates out on social media where we see different things on ventilators, hospital beds, and all of those metrics as a few days ago were all in the green. So I want to say thank you to Brian for doing all that. I want to show you some graphs that we have that as a staff, what we look at on a daily basis. And Steve, let's go to the first one. There you go. This is change in number of cases per day. And you can see, you know, originally when we first started this, going all the way back to March, you can see the spikes. And so the number that's at the very bottom is in the yellow, that's Rutherford County. And you can see where we've really stayed pretty flat over the last, really since April. We did have a spike in the 1st of May, but you can see now we had a spike on the 28th of this month, but things are still staying pretty flat. All right, Steve, let's go to the next one. So you can see this percentage change in cases per day, and you also can see how that is with Rutherford County and some of the other adjacent counties, and you can see that we're still staying relatively flat, and those numbers are trending down. Let's go to the next one. I think this is our daily cases versus total tests, and you know, it's a lot of lines on there, but really what this just shows you, Davidson County, Rutherford County, Williamson County, and you can see that we're especially after the test over the last day, you can see that we've had a sharp decline on the total cases versus the total number of tests. But I mean, it's important to note the amount of tests that have been occurring and that are still occurring. This next graph is the one that I really like to show you. The area that's in the yellow, that's the total number of tests that we've had in Rutherford County so far in relation to positive tests, which is the red number that's at the very bottom. So you can see how much testing has taken place in the decline that we've had in percent of change in cases of tests on a daily basis. So that's all numbers that are headed in the right direction. And a new graph that we have next is the number of cases in relative to tests. So this, I don't know what the name of the graph is, but you can see that we're almost up to 13,000 tests, and you can see the number of, in red, the number of positive tests that we've had. So all good numbers that we're seeing, the COVID numbers that we're seeing come across. County Health Department is continuing to do a good job. There's lots of guidance that is coming back from the state. I think the governor is at executive orders in the 40s right now. Last week, the governor opened up non-contact sports, which I know that was something that we were all excited to hear about, and that's something that our Parks and Recreation Department has been working through. So that was probably the number one question that I got on a frequent basis on, you know, when are our kids going to be able to get back and start some of their activities. I know soccer started back actually today. Murfreesboro soccer started back practicing tonight. There's a lot of the baseball leagues that have all started back. All of this is on our website, murfreesborotn.gov, and you can click on COVID resources, and that will give you information on sort of what we're doing, what phases that we're in. Right now, our indoor pools are open for very structured lap swimming, but we are not sure right now when playgrounds and when our outdoor Borough Beach outdoor pools are going to open up. That's something we're still monitoring, and I know our Parks and Recreation staff is monitoring. Schools, our outdoor chow bus is still moving along, still feeding kids, and has been for the last, you know, since April. That's something I think we're extremely proud of. So those are still have our sites that are throughout the city that you can go. I think there's 35 total sites that you can go see. So those are something that I think the numbers that we see are still trending downward. So that's, as a city, we're open. City Hall's open. All of the services that we have as a city are continuing to go on go along. I had a text the other night. I guess it was Monday or Tuesday night that it was raining outside and our brush pickup was still going on, and this was like at 6:30 at night. The people were still working, so I think the decisions that the council has made on employing some subcontractors to help with that is paying dividends after the storms we've had. I'm proud of what our community has done and what our community is continuing to do. Some of our churches are getting ready to start opening back up. You know, we're continually getting guidance from the governor. As we've talked about before, we're one of 89 counties that we're a county health department. We answer to the state, and as that guidance is pushed back to us, we immediately implement that guidance to make sure that our businesses and our residents know exactly what's occurring. All right, that's all I have on COVID. I know that there's several people who want to probably talk about our protest that we had last night, and I want to just say a few things about that, and then as always, we'll answer questions about COVID or anything else that you ask. Let me first start by saying, as a community, and you know, I have two 16-year-old boys that we've had lots of talks over the last week, and I want to be really clear. What happened to George Lloyd in Minnesota, anyone who sees that video and is not completely appalled by what happened is not in the right frame of mind. And I don't think that's representative of who we are as a country. I don't think that's representative, most definitely, of who we are as Murfreesboro. The men and women in our police department that I work with every single day, when I've yet to talk to one police officer who has said that anything should be condoned like that. As a matter of fact, you know, I think I've heard from more police officers that have said if any of our police officers are like that, then they just need to turn their badges in right now. So that really goes on to, you know, where we are as a community, what we dealt with in 2018, which was more of a reverse of a group coming in that we didn't ask to come in. They were not representative of our community. They're not representative of the diversity that we have in our community. And, you know, I think we all came together in 2018. And really at that time, we showed, after Charlottesville, we showed the entire country who this community is. And so yesterday, when the protests occurred, just to give you sort of insight on how things happened, Saturday night we were monitoring what was going on in Nashville, and immediately our team started working on Saturday night when, you know, we found out that the protest was coming in Murfreesboro at 3 o'clock yesterday. And I'm proud of our police department, our fire department, Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, all of these groups who came together to protect our community. And we did not want to see what has happened in other areas of our country happen to Murfreesboro. It was just not an option. Having gone through what we did in 2018, we implemented our plan and put it in place, and knowing that, you know, we've asked the question, was there a permit issued? There was not a permit issued. You know, I think we all take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, and with that, there's our First Amendment. And so we didn't have the opportunity, nor I don't think should we have the opportunity, to tell people that they can't speak their mind or protest. Now, with that, in our downtown area, it makes it a little more challenging, especially after you saw what was happening in other areas of our country. And, you know, we came out and we said we understand what was going on. No one was condoning what was happening, but we put a plan in place to make sure that we protected our citizens and our residents. And that's our number one priority, making sure that our citizens are safe, that, you know, people who have businesses, that their livelihood, to make sure that those are safe. And I'm proud to say that the protest that happened yesterday on the square, police officers were walking hand in hand with the protesters. They were standing to the side, and that was a very peaceful protest. The protest then went from the square to went to down Main Street to North Highland, and then came over to the police department. And that was a little different than what was happening around the square. You know, I want to be clear in saying, you know, you had 20 of your Murfreesboro police officers that stood in front of the police department and were being called things that I wouldn't want to be called. And that's those persons' rights to do that. But we had African-American officers, we had Hispanic officers, we had white officers, we had men, we had women who were all standing there, all a family and a team, and they did not say a word. They just stood there. And when the protest moved on, those individuals walked right in and went back to work. They showed grace, they showed restraint, and they did exactly what they're trained and what they were supposed to do. And I, after talking to some of those officers, they understood. They understood why people are upset. So that group then walked down Main Street, and they were going to Forest Hall at MTSU. And once that happened, the group got to Middle Tennessee Boulevard and got to Main Street, Middle Tennessee Boulevard, and, you know, this is all being monitored. We're seeing everything, and the group sat in the middle of the intersection, and there were a couple of the protesters that almost got hit because traffic was still going on, and our police officers, professionally and doing everything that they were supposed to do, asked the individuals they needed to move and get out of the roads. Those groups didn't do that. And so that's when Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, Murfreesboro Police Department, all of our groups together, in a coordinated effort, they shot tear gas to move the people out of the roads. And I mean, I think that's something I want to say. I understand the peaceful protest, but sitting in the middle of the road was not helping anything besides our residents being in danger, the protesters being in danger, and that's exactly what happened. So at that point, there's questions asked about a curfew. That was around, we put a curfew in place around 6:30. Again, with the utmost priority of making sure that our community was safe, and that includes the protesters. So we put a curfew in place at 6:30. There's been questions that have asked, well, why were we notified after 6:30? Well, you know, the curfew was put in place in the 6:20 time range, and it takes time for that to be able to get through. But people would say, well, why didn't you put a 7 o'clock curfew in place? And, you know, it's my opinion. I don't think you publicize that you want a 7 o'clock curfew in place when it's 6:30 and say, hey, you got 30 minutes to do whatever you want to and tear whatever up. So we just decided not to do that. And from that point, the protest, there were some bricks thrown. There was a window that was busted out. So we just made the decision that we're just not going to do that. That's not who Murfreesboro is. That's not how we handle things, and we're not going to do that. So the protest then went on. We were in constant contact with the state, and at no time were our police officers not trying to be courteous, but at the same time, you know, our police officers are men and women who have families as well, and we want to make sure and protect them. And so those were the decisions that we made. We went through, the governor put an order in place on also a curfew, and that allowed us to be able to go through on making sure that we were able to keep order in place and make sure that our downtown and our community was protected. People have asked the question, I'm trying to go through all these so everyone understands sort of the chain on how things happen, but and a lot of it's governmental things, and you know, people don't necessarily understand nor care the process of what you have to go through to do certain things. Well, you know, in the way that the government works, at least in the city of Murfreesboro under our charter, we have to declare an emergency. Once the emergency is declared, then a curfew can be set, and then for our emergency to be set, that allows the governor to act. So there's a chain of events that we have to go in place. But you know, there are rumors out there that rubber pellets were shot. That's not true. There were rumors out there that you know, our police officers were too tactical. I don't know any other option besides to make sure that we're protecting our police officers and protecting our residents. And I want to be, again, I keep saying I want to be clear. It's very important that we make sure and protect residents and protesters. But you know, the men and women of our Murfreesboro Police Department, of our Rutherford County Sheriff's Office, are not representative of what happened in Minnesota. And that's not representative of what we have in our community, nor what we've ever had in our community. We're all committed to making sure that we have a diverse community. We're all committed to making sure that we understand everyone, that we're not all alike. You know, if anything, and I told my boys this, it makes me understand that I need to do a better job to understand different ideas and different mindsets. It doesn't mean we're going to agree, but it also doesn't mean that we're going to destroy our community because we disagree. And that's something that I think that's made Murfreesboro special, is that we've been able to have these conversations, that we've been able to have this type of dialogue, and we don't have to deal with the things that other communities deal with. So that's something that we're committed to. I know we're not always going to agree. I know you're some of the people with the amount of emails I've gotten today are not going to agree with the actions that we took yesterday. But you know, it's one of those situations that if we don't do enough and something happens, that we're blamed that we didn't do enough. And if we did, we were overprepared and nothing happened, well, now we're getting blamed that we were too overprepared. So I would rather nothing have happened in our community, and we continue to build forward. So with that, I'm going to answer. There's a bunch of questions that have come across, so I'm going to try to do the best I can to answer as much as I can. So if y'all have COVID or the protest, I'll be happy to answer as much as I can. We've had a lot of questions asked about a curfew tonight based on the continued protesting. We're going to continue to monitor that and see what happens. I've talked to several downtown business owners. We did have the protest today, and that was out at the Lowe's and went out to the sheriff's department, and the groups that protested there were the sheriff's department, and those protesters were hugging at the end of the day, and I think that's indicative of hopefully where we are, and I think that's where I know we as a Murfreesboro police department want to be the same way. So Sherry, you said, but you took the unnecessary option to use tear gas. Again, it is all on tape, and I've seen the tape. I watched it firsthand. We just cannot have – Sherry, they were – you put on here they were on the sidewalk, not in the road. That's just not the case. There were individuals that were sitting in the middle of the intersection. There were people who were on top of cars, and there were people who were doing burnouts in the intersection. That's just the facts, and we just can't have that happen. No, we're not on a curfew. Kathy, they did not continue to tear gas people repeatedly once they were on the sidewalk. That's not the case. Let's see. Chick-fil-A blocks traffic every day. That is something, Wendy, I know I talked to the Chick-fil-A owner actually last week. They're actually getting ready to start a new construction project, but I don't think that's probably comparing apples to what happened yesterday. Let's see. Ginger, I don't disagree with you. I think our police, I can't speak for other communities. All I can speak is for what I see in Rutherford County and Murfreesboro. And I feel like that I have the ability to say over the last 20 years of doing this, almost 20 years, we have some of the finest men and women in the law enforcement profession that I've ever seen. And that's not to say that we're not going to mess up. That's not to say that in a group of over 200 plus individuals that there may not be some that act like we always want them to act. But, I was there yesterday when those people were coming back in, and I'm proud of our men and women of our police department. And at the same time, I'm proud of how many of the protesters many of the protesters handled themselves yesterday. All right, let me look over here. I have not seen anything yet, but that's is there another protest scheduled? I'm not seeing that yet, and there is a absolutely I don't want to leave out MTSU police that helped the protesters as well with Buddy Peaster and his individuals. I think it all takes a community to be able to handle some of these things, and the law enforcement professionals that we have are second to none. And I do think, as a community, I want people to understand that after what we saw earlier in end of last week and then on Saturday, I'm not trying to lobby to get you to agree with the decision that I make, because at the end of the day, I think you put people in positions to have to make decisions based on the information that they have, and you hope that you have people who are advising you that are top notch, and luckily I have that. Between last night, Chief Bowen and Kerry Gensimer and Craig Tindall and really just the entire team, you know you've got good people in place. And I think that's, as we were looking at what was happening, I mean, we've been here, we've had to do this before, and it was something that we wanted to make sure that we protected our business owners and our residents. And at the same time, I mean, I drive the square and I see volunteer after volunteer of people who are putting boards up and boarding windows up. And I mean, that's, you know, in some sense, that's not something you want to be proud of that's happening. But in another sense, as a community that comes together, this all was planned in 5 or 6 hours. That has to tell you something about the type of people that we have here in this community who are willing to do that for their fellow residents. Steve, there's not that we've seen, there's not another protest scheduled. MTSU police, absolutely. Again, curfew tonight, that's a brand, I think I talked about that earlier. That's something that we'll monitor. Stacy Windrow, I see you watching, and hopefully one of these days I'll be able to keep up with you on the bicycle. Are the numbers accurate? Since May 18th, Rutherford County has seen 375 positive tests out of 2,759. Carol, that's pretty close to what we've seen. Now, you also have to look at the negative tests, because we had 333 reported today that were negative. So, yes, those numbers are continuing to stay pretty steady. Now, that they're, Carol, I did see a spike on, I think it was the 29th or 30th. But a lot of that has to do with, and you continue to hear people saying that, a lot of that has to do with the number of people that are tested on a daily basis. So, yeah, overall, when you look at the trend, that number is continuing to stay in that 10% range of people who are total who are tested. All right, I'm going to give it a few more questions. We've tried to keep these down to 30 minutes, and I hope y'all found these to be informational, and if anything, you know, the ability to be able to maybe get some insight that you just don't get as we're at a council meeting. So let me look, make sure I didn't miss anything here. Look on this one. All right. I don't see any other questions that I've not already answered in some form already. But hey, let's try. And we've talked about this. You know, I think I said this last time that in the community right now, you know, we basically have restarted a community over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and you know, with that. That we have to have mercy and grace with things that we're seeing in the community, that we deal with in the community. But something that we need to do, and this is something that we need to do, all of us. Let's try over these many weeks that are coming across for us to be kinder, love a little more, understand a little more. And, you know, I think there are so many people who come to this community and really say, man, something's different here. And I think this is our opportunity to be able to show that. You know, I've gotten numerous texts and emails over the course of the last 24 hours. And, you know, some try to respond back on every one. Some have different opinions than I have, and some don't. And I think it's my job, and it's our job as a community to make sure that we listen, and that's what we're going to still stay committed to do. So let's do everything we can to further what we already have going here in our community and keep us all moving in a positive direction. I mean, really, when you think through what we've all dealt with over the last 90 days, you know, no one really thought that we'd be dealing with a pandemic, with the social things that we're dealing with right now. And I think we're all committed in this community to making sure that we handle ourselves in a way that's fitting to represent this community, that we treat people in a way that's fitting to the people who live in this community, and that's what we're going to try to do. So thank you so much. Be blessed, and I will see you soon on our next update.
That is Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland here this evening on our COVID-19 update. And really, I guess, to be fair, the majority of the evening was spent in conversation about what was happening or what happened yesterday with the protest downtown. And just give you a brief synopsis if you are just joining us or joined late. Early on, the mayor kind of went through where we are in terms of COVID-19 now and where things stand. Rutherford County, around 9 to 10% of the tests that come back of the total test are positive. The rest are negative, so that's about roughly 90% of the tests that are given are negative. Did mention that Murfreesboro soccer and some of the baseball leagues have started back as of today. We had Thomas Laird with Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation on Rutherford Issues today at 10:30. So if you want to listen back to some of that conversation from earlier today, kind of went a little more in depth about where Parks and Rec is in terms of that. So the attention kind of turned to the protest yesterday, and the mayor made some comments and personal reflections on what happened in Minneapolis with the tragic death of George Floyd. And after seeing how things went down in Nashville just the night before, there was a big planning session and kind of an idea of how to plan and put together what Murfreesboro's response would be. And part of that included volunteers coming in to help the businesses board up the downtown area and protect those businesses as well. The mayor did say what happened in Nashville and other places, leaders were determined that was not going to happen in Murfreesboro. He did say that there was no permit issued for the protest, and went on to say that, you know, as part of our rights as Americans is to be able to speak our mind. And so there was no permit. And in his, I guess his opinion on that there was no permit needed for that. Number one priority for the city was to protect people, protect its citizens, protesters and citizens, and also the businesses. He did take up the protest as it was on the square, called that a peaceful protest for the actual protest or vigil, if you will, or that went on the square. But after that, things kind of turned into a different direction. You know, the protesters were, as the mayor was mentioning, headed toward Forest Hall on the MTSU campus. And at the intersection of Middle Tennessee and East Main, the reports are, and the mayor went into great detail and said that the case was these protesters were sitting in the streets. And we've seen some photographic and video evidence of that as well. And the police did deploy tear gas to move them out of the middle of the street. So that's where I think that maybe the new piece of information there was that the protesters were headed toward Forest Hall. The curfew was put into place around 6:30, and I know that there has been quite a bit of confusion over the curfew, but the mayor said around 6:20 or so made the decision for the curfew. By the time that information could be disseminated, it was a few minutes after 6:30, but the decision was made to, you know, quickly put a curfew into place. He was answering the question, why not later? Why not make it 7 o'clock? So you make sure that that information was out there. and realize that, kind of paraphrasing here, but did say, you know, why give 30 minutes to do whatever you want to do before the curfew? So that was his decision on why not later. On a sidebar of that, we put out information and other media sources put out the same information because that's what we've received. And if you look closely at your emergency alerts, if you live in Murfreesboro, you got an alert on your phone that said a statewide curfew had been issued by the governor. Well, that happened not to be the case, but that was the information that was disseminated first. There was an erroneous message. Instead of it saying the city of Murfreesboro's curfew, it was kind of worded a statewide curfew. That was changed later, but just wanted to give you a sidebar on that. There were some that thought that we as WGNS put that information out there saying that it was statewide. That was the information we got initially, and if you got those emergency alerts on your phone, you did too, but it was actually the city curfew that was going into effect, which, as the city's charter is made, the mayor has to declare a state of emergency and the curfew, and then the governor has a part in that, and I think that's where part of the confusion came up. He did take up, there were no rubber bullets shot yesterday, which was a rumor. And let's see, did reiterate to some questions. There have been many questions. I've seen this on Facebook myself, and the mayor obviously was seeing that in his Facebook comments about that the protesters were on the sidewalk. They weren't in the streets. But he reiterated that the protesters were actually in the intersection, and pretty much kind of talked a bit about that. Did give a shout out, if you will, to the volunteers who helped the business owners in the downtown area board up their businesses. And that all happened in a very short time frame, roughly 6 to 8 hours. It was planned and everything put into place, and those businesses protected. The mayor did say, and I thought this was an interesting comment, a great comment. He was proud of how many of the protesters acted, but that doesn't reflect all, but for the majority, was proud of how those protesters acted. That's pretty much a recap of the mayor's comments. We will have this posted at WGNSradio.com, where you can listen back to the entire comments of Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland.